Second hour here, Friday edition of Robbie and Rex Strode, presented by T.J. Anderson Homes, Benchmark Realty, helping home buyers and sellers in Middle Tennessee for 20 years. We're in the game studio, sponsored by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, Electrical. Paul Kaharski in today for Robbie Stanley.
Joe, if you go right now to Zen Sports, download the app, use the code TNPAUL, TNPAUL in all capital letters, make a $10 bet, you get a free year's membership to my site. Download the Zen Sports app, TNPAUL is your code, $10 bet, free year membership to my site. If you're an existing membership, existing member, go there, use the same code, you get a $250 cash match, and anybody over there gets 5% cash back of their first 15 days of betting and up to 3% cash back monthly. Bam, big deal.
I will do that, but first, I'd like to bring in Jared Stillman. What did you just ex-post about Jared Stillman?
I said a panting Jared Stillman talks to two reasonable adults on Robbie and Rex Road. Nick said that he was panting while he was waiting.
No, I did not say.
Why are you breathing heavily, Jared?
Did you say that?
Oh, are you afraid of Jared?
Jared, you're afraid of Jared. Don't be afraid of Jared.
I said Jared was on the line.
Breathing.
Oh,
heavily.
Come on.
No, Nick. Did you say it? Paul says a lot of stuff, but it sounds. I don't think he'd make that up.
I didn't say panting. I said that you were here, though.
What did you say?
What did you say, Nick?
I said that you were ready on the other line.
No. You at least said breathing heavily. Yeah, exactly.
I said he was in my ear. That's all.
Yeah. So why are you – now let's get to the point. Why are you just such anticipating this segment, Jared?
He's doing his push-ups and his morning calisthenics.
Oh, the one-arm push-ups? Getting ready for this, Jared?
I am sitting here right now at the kitchen counter, and I am working on my show for today. I got my 2 o'clock topic done. I got my 3 o'clock topic done, and I got my 5:30 topic done. So I'm kind of just going over that.
Give us a little preview.
Hey, one of my favorite things, too, because Paul always gets on me for working out. I've never really understood this. You know, it's like, hey, you are fat. And it's like, then you work out and he makes fun of you. So when we were in Minnesota, this guy that I had actually, like, taken an F-45 class with, he was on the field. And I was like, hey, tell Paul that I was. And the guy's like, yeah, he was crushing it today. And then Paul's like, oh, yeah, I do Iron Tribe. It's like, hey,
listen, I believe that you work out. I just think your workouts are totally ineffective because I don't see any change in your body.
I've lost 28 pounds so far on PhD weight loss. I feel great about it, Paul.
I was making my workout reference there was to the, getting excited, like the week, Jared, where you were like, Ryan Tannehill is going to be so jacked up for the Dolphins. That started the one-arm push-up joke. So
they did
out
the Dolphins.
For the record, I'm not body shaming anyone. Unlike
Thank you,
PK.
Joe.
Yes.
I actually did notice on the stream this morning, Joe, you are wearing like a t-shirt with the guns out today. I'm very proud of you.
He's since put on a jacket. He couldn't deal with the coldness. So he wanted to show off the guns for a time, but then he gave in to the temperature.
Yeah,
Chief. Oh, I got a beef to pick with you. You put words into my mouth the other day. I did not say. I texted Joe, and I said.
You're allowed to text me, by the way.
Malarkey got canned. Because Terry Rubisky and that Vrabel did the same thing with Todd Downing and that Vrabel wasn't treated the same way. And then you turned that into me saying that Malarkey was a better coach than Vrabel, which I never said, which somehow got you on a rant about how I never got enough attention from my family as a kid. I didn't say that. You're like, there's no way he believes that. I can't believe this is an example
you suggested
of him saying
that Vrabel,
I didn't believe it.
You suggest, first off, you tweeted about it, and you didn't mention me. Kindly, when you talk about me on Twitter,
subtweeting,
have the stones to Paul Kaharski NFL every time. I'll do the same. You suggested that because Malarkey got fired for not getting rid of Rubisky, you were equating that to Vrabel should have got fired for not firing Downing was the way I heard it, like equating it. Well, Malarkey didn't give up his offensive coordinator and suffered for it. Vrabel didn't give up his offensive coordinator and didn't suffer for it, as if the two were equal things, which they're not, because Vrabel is a superior coach to Mike Malarkey.
So here's my thing. First of all, I think that, I do think Vrabel's a better coach than Mike Malarkey, and Vrabel's younger than Malarkey, so there's probably more of a future there. But I don't think the gap between the two is as big as we're all making it out. And the sacred cowism that I hear on this show from Mike Vrabel is sickening.
Sacred cowism? You, what are you talking about?
You, Robbie, Paul, every time the last 2 days that some criticism of Vrabel, and it's okay to criticize Vrabel and at the same time not say that he should be fired.
He should be lit up now, but he should not be fired.
I want to hear Jared, because Jared's now he's misrepresenting our show. Go ahead.
Every time somebody says something about Vrabel, you guys are like, well, I mean, Vrabel is a great coach. And it's like, is he?
Is that right? You got sound on that? Every
is
time.
Is he a great coach?
I think he's a great coach. I do.
Based on what?
I think he's a severely.
Because he got to an AFC championship game 4 years ago with John Robinson players?
Here's where you're extremely young and extremely fannish. That only a great coach is only defined by immense success. And you have to have gone to a Super Bowl in your first 5 years.
I mean, are there not great players?
A great coach.
Are there, like, is Damian Lillard a great player?
Don Mattingly, was he a great player?
Right.
I mean, so I'm not saying Vrabel is not a great coach because he hasn't been
to a Super
Bowl.
Oh, you just did.
My point is,
you said if I called him a great coach, you said based on what? Now you're saying I'm not saying he's a great coach. So which one are you saying?
Here's the thing.
You're saying both.
You're saying that Mike Vrabel's a great coach. And I'm saying, you know, great coaches don't lose 9 out of 10 games. Great coaches don't constantly hire bad offensive
coordinators. Is Bill Belichick a great coach?
Bill Belichick lost 9 out of 10 here?
I don't know, but he had freaking Matt Patricia running his offense last. I still think Belichick's a great coach, but you can find some bad.
I think the shine has come off the apple with Belichick since Tom Brady left.
So is he not a great coach now?
I don't think right now Belichick's a great coach.
Okay.
See, now, like, the totality of his career, yes.
Jared, if you're in this league long enough,
you're going to have your bad times. I mean, last year's 7-game losing streak, if you can't handle the nuance of what went wrong for the Titans, and you're just going to turn that into a black eye, like Mike Vrabel became a horrible coach and got out coached for those 7 games and not take into account that Jeffrey Simmons wasn't himself, that Ryan Tannehill wasn't there for 5 games, that the schedule was stacked in a way last season where the first half was easy and the second half was hard. If you're going to leave out all of that context and just make it like, oh, my God, they just got terrible and lost 7 games.
9 to 10
you're
games.
You're leaving a
he
lot
sucks.
Out.
9 to 10 games, he sucks.
Well, here's my problem, though. I think Vrabel's fine. I don't have, you know, again.
Jared? Which one?
I didn't say he
you
sucks,
You said he's
Paul.
Not great.
You guys are the ones that are saying he's a great coach.
Sacred
and I am
cowism.
Saying, again, you brought up nuance. I think
you don't believe
Vrabel's
in nuance. You don't know what nuance means.
Hold on. I think that there is.
I need a nuanced take on nuance from Jared.
I think that there is two sides of the spectrum, right? There's you guys that every time anybody criticizes Vrabel at all, you guys just immediately get up and say,
that is,
he's
Jared,
a great coach
Jared,
and the losses are not his fault.
Jared,
and
Jared,
then
you
Jared,
know
here's
that's
the
not
other
true.
Side of
you
it
know
of
that's
the people
true,
in the
Jared.
Text line who think that Vrabel should be fired, and I think the truth is in the middle.
Jared, I wrote from Cleveland. And
nobody read what you wrote.
I don't care if you think that's the case or not. I have numbers that tell you different. You listen to the press conference with bated breath and use the answers that he says to questions by people who are there, which is what I write off of. And I said, is the coach better, play better, resonating anymore? Do you think that's complimentary of Mike Vrabel? It's not.
He's such a great coach. Then why is it not working, Paul?
Because things change and evolve and happen. It's not just so simple.
No one's
that
saying
you lay
he's
it out and everything
coach.
Goes great.
I mean, Jared, that is such a BS. I mean, look, if you don't listen to this show, that's fine. I don't require you to listen to it. But if you're going to try to sit here and analyze it and say it's sacred cowism and every time Vrabel's criticized, we jump on people and say he's a great coach, that's a load of BS. That's not true. That's not remotely true.
Do you think I have exchanges with Vrabel at press conference on a regular basis where he's unhappy with me because I'm lauding him?
Yeah, I mean, come on, Jared. We don't need to fabricate takes here, okay?
What bothers me about the Vrabel thing, and I think that this is, you know, I kind of actually pin this more on the media than I do the fans here, is that I don't feel like everybody else gets treated the same way that Vrabel got treated, right? Like Todd Downing was an unmitigated disaster last year, and every time that they would come out and have a bad game plan or bad play calls at the wrong time or whatever it may be, it was Todd Downing that got the blame. It wasn't Vrabel who got the blame for keeping Todd Downing. and John Robinson.
There's another thing, you know, that was said on this show that you didn't listen to, but okay.
I mean, Todd or John Robinson would get the blame for Dennis Daly every time he'd give up a sack.
Well, who brought in Dennis Daly?
Oh God, that was a. Well, who brought in Andre Dillard? Not John Robinson.
Well, we're
and
killing
I
them
to this
for
show
Dennis.
On Wednesday, we're and you're bitching about Isaiah Wilson and Dylan Raidens, and I'm like, John Robinson didn't bring in Andre Dillard.
We're killing them
John
for
Robinson
Andre Dillard.
Didn't pay Aaron Brewer $4.7 million.
Jared, try to concentrate here. A, we're killing them for Andre Dillard. B, one of the reasons they need Andre Dillard is because they draft. This is going to be something that happens over time instead of immediately. They drafted Isaiah Wilson, who busted. Then they had to chase it, and they drafted Dylan Raidens, who's not good. Then they had to chase it, and they drafted Nicholas Petit-Frere, who's suspended for 6 games. While they were doing all of that, John Robinson had no plan to replace Taylor Lewan. See, so that left them in a spot where they had to go get somebody on the market that had nobody in it, and they wound up with Andre Dillard. See how Robinson has fingerprints on that, even though Andre Dillard isn't his guy?
Wait,
nuance.
I'm sorry.
Nuance.
Right, hold on.
There
hold
was
on.
Nobody on the market that they could get to replace Andre Dillard.
The market was very dry. I know you're going to say McGlinchey.
Well, who's playing left tackle for the Bengals this week?
He's overpriced. I don't have it in front of me.
Orlando Brown?
Oh, where did they get him?
Well, I mean, you have to make a calculation if you
there's
think a
there's nobody
guy
on
is,
the market. Who are you playing against this week? Oh, a guy the Bengals signed in free agency off the market this year.
Well, there were like 4 or 5 guys on the market. If they decide he's overpriced and whatever, that's fine. If you think he's going to be a great long-term investment, here's another thing, again, that is going to actually require time for us to see if it was the right move. But you're unwilling to wait to see anything. It has to be judged right now.
Okay, right now, we're going to take a break and come back. Jared said he wanted 2 segments. So, Jared, we'll have a second segment. But I just want to thank the text line driven by WillsConAhead.com for a lot of text. I'm old enough to remember when Stillman said Vrabel was the best coach in the league 2 weeks ago. And we'll be back. Robbie
also,
Rex,
he'll get his autograph at some point, like LaViolette.
102.5, 106.3 The Game. Tune in to 102.5, 106.3 The Game this Saturday, 8 p.m. for our college football game of the week, Alabama versus Mississippi State, presented by Twin Peaks. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexrode. Jared Stillman with us for a second segment. I don't even know where to go from here. I guess I'll just like throw the ball in the middle and jump out of the way.
I've got a place to go. This is more Jared as a prisoner of the moment. So, Jared, last night you tweeted as the Packers were losing badly to Detroit, maybe Matt LaFleur, the guy who was holding Derrick Henry back, wasn't good, and it was all Aaron Rodgers. So I want to know what you said when Love threw for 245 yards and 3 touchdowns opening day against Chicago. I want to know what you said when they came back from 17-0 down in the fourth quarter to beat the Saints week 3. Was LaFleur an okay coach in those 2 games without Aaron Rodgers? Or do we just wait until he has a bad game, roll out the old Derrick Henry thing, and bash him?
So unlike you and people who read box scores and pretend that they watch games they didn't watch, I didn't watch those games.
I didn't watch them either. I can look at the box score and
tell you what happened in the Saints game. I think LaFleur's a bum, Paul. I thought he was an awful offensive coordinator. I know your buddy's with him, but I thought he was an awful offensive coordinator when he was here. And I think that he won a lot of games as the coach of the Packers because of Aaron Rodgers. And I think he's going to get his brains kicked in without him.
It is wild how coaches win games when they have good players. It is crazy.
And Joe will back me up on this. I have been anti-LaFleur the entire time, including when he was winning in Green Bay.
Yeah. Okay, but I'm saying you tweet about the bad game, but you ignore the good games. So it's just like selective.
Nobody, it's a noon kickoff on Fox. No one's watching during a Titans game, including me.
That's fine.
So
I'm not saying tweet about the good games, but I'm saying in the context of the bad game.
In that Saints game, so congratulations. I guess I didn't watch it, but congratulations, Matt LaFleur. You beat Jameis Winston by 1 point because they missed a field goal at the end of the game.
Those wins don't count. I looked at the box score, and they took them out. They take out the wins that you don't like. They take them out. They put them somewhere else.
Oh, I'm
but the
sorry.
Losses hey, that you like, the losses that you like, they double up.
He beat
up.
The Chicago Bears. Let's go. Throw a parade for them.
So when the Titans beat the Chargers, that doesn't count.
For a minute there, I thought Jared started to say he beat the sh, and I was like, oh my God, this is totally going off the rails. All right, let's take it back to this. I think that the discussion about Vrabel is, first of all, it's frustrating because Jared is totally lying and putting words into people's mouths. But Chuck says, Jared has a point. People, I guess, do seem to always be making excuses for Vrabel. Are you saying, I think he's talking to you, PK, are you saying Vrabel had no say in personnel? Vrabel has no say in offensive scheme? Where was the great Vrabel defensive mind last week? Again, like,
there are some guys that Vrabel didn't have a say in. Vrabel wasn't a Vic Beasley guy. We've had this conversation.
Yeah, Vrabel was not.
Vrabel wasn't a Josh Reynolds guy.
He was not a trade AJ guy. He was not a Julio guy. But I think Vrabel, absolutely, Chuck, to answer your question, I've said this many times. Jared wasn't listening. No, some of the personnel issues on this team, he gets a slice
Andre
of,
Dillard, he
slice
was,
of it.
Andre Dillard, he was in on. And look, one of I the mean, things
don't,
that
look,
makes
they
Vrabel.
They don't draft Isaiah Wilson. They do not draft Isaiah Wilson if Vrabel's like, hell no.
No. And one of the things that makes Vrabel good is his cockiness and his swagger. But it's also one of the things that makes him bad. So they say, well, we could bring in Andre Dillard and make him good enough and scheme in a way that we can make that work. And when that cockiness doesn't work and Andre Dillard isn't good enough, it hurts them badly. But at other points, you know, where they say, hey, Tierre Tart can come in and do things here, it does help them. So the thing balances out in the end to me. In his body of work, which I know we're not allowed to look at in Stooley Land, in his body of work, he's done better work getting stuff more out of less than vice versa.
So I you said great. I think, you know, this is one of those things. I mean, this is semantics. I do sometimes with great coach. I think Vrabel's a very good coach.
I'm putting it in the context of what's been here. He's better than what's been
sure.
here. And
well,
if he was gone, I have zero faith that they could hire somebody that's better than him.
So what's your word, Jared?
So you brought up like the context of the totality of what Vrabel's accomplished as a coach, which I do think is fair to bring up. But the thing that bothers me is that I feel like when it comes to John Robinson, nobody ever talked about the totality of what he did. They only talk about the bad. They only talk about the A.J.
Brown.
They only talk about Wilson. And as the general manager of the Titans, John Robinson inherited the worst team in the NFL and won 61% of his games. That is the exact same percentage that Bill Walsh had during his years running the 49ers.
Jared, I think it's important to note, thought that John Robinson should be fired.
Exactly. There's not one person talking here who thought he should have been fired. I know I wrote it, said it. It was stupid.
I thought he should have been given a chance to get out of what he did. Now, I don't like the fact that he used COVID as an excuse, because while he used COVID as an excuse, other teams had fine drafts and did fine finding people. So he needed to find a way.
The thing that bothers me, too, is, again, the context of the busted picks. Now, I mean, look, those two COVID drafts were brutal. But for everybody that's like, you know, drafting Isaiah Wilson set the franchise back for years.
It did.
I'm like, busts happened in the first round. Even the best general managers bust in the first
round.
Not as
often
as he did. Howie Roseman drafted Jalen Reagor, a pick before Justin Jefferson. And I think Philadelphia is doing fine at wide receiver.
Yeah, but that's
right
one
now.
Pick. That's not Caleb Farley and Isaiah Wilson.
They drafted
and Rashawn
Andre Dillard
Evans.
The year before. That's two.
Okay. But they find
and
a way Dylan to recover.
Radins.
Right? When the Titans drafted Pac-Man Jones, they lucked into Cortland Finnegan. You have to make up
or
for
the general
it.
Manager of the Titans at the time was a really good talent evaluator and found a gym in the seventh round.
See, you're giving him a grand slam walk-off when he drafted Pac-Man Jones, who made the city look miserable, who was around spitting on women regularly, and you're going to applaud him?
I was hoping we'd get this to Pac-Man
Jones. I'm going to applaud him for drafting Cortland Finnegan in the seventh round the same way I'm going to applaud Kyle Shanahan for finding a franchise quarterback.
How about Byron Frisch? You and I need to sit down one time. You and I need to sit down.
Even though they screwed up on Trey Lance. The reason they're good is because they found a franchise quarterback with the last pick.
Absolutely.
Well, because they've drafted and signed a lot of good players.
You and I need to sit down one time and talk about a whole bunch of names that you don't even know that Floyd never told you exist, like Byron Frisch.
I mean, he's talked about his bus all the time. We brought them up.
Yeah,
Bryant Mix.
Well, it's the same idea, right? The same
is
idea.
A name
you
that
you
he
do
talks
it,
about
you do
a
it long
regret
enough.
That he had.
Yeah, you do
Lindale
it.
White was a regret that he had. He had Devin Hester
I'm
on the
sure
phone.
I'm sure he blamed Lendale White on Jeff Fisher. Everybody
did. Of course he did. He had Devin Hester on the phone and then ended up drafting Lendale White.
Yeah, look, John Robinson's 19 draft was fantastic. His first 16. Draft was fantastic. And also there's like three picks in there that were terrible. I mean, that's always going to happen. Just like coaches who over time have success and are a certain level of consistency, which I think Vrabel is, are going to have bad stretches. I mean, Jared, going back to PK's point, like you're seriously going to sit here and just say, well, 9-10, is he really a good coach? I mean, look, you know what that team was at the end of last year. They had to replace Malik Willis with Josh Dobbs at quarterback. And I'm not trying to make an excuse for him. He's got to get out of this, and he deserves plenty of criticism now. But this idea that there's some outrageous defending of Vrabel going on, it's not here, man. It's not here. You know, you can find that somewhere else, I guess. People keep saying on the text line that you walk around with a Vrabel jersey, by the way. Is that true? You wearing a Vrabel jersey around town?
When will you get his autograph? How's the scheduling going for that?
Paul, I think it's hilarious that you bring this up about me and Laviolette literally multiple times.
Oh, it's one of the most embarrassing things you've ever done.
Every time I ever talk about, like every time. See, you don't understand that he and I, years after he's done coaching, years after I criticized him, can be friends. And that's okay because there's a line between what's personal and what's business. You can't seem to understand that line, and that's why you can't seem to get a job in town on the radio or working on a show.
You're going there. Wow. You're going there. All right, Jared, let me school you on this. How old are you, by the way?
You're going to tell me about how you're how old are you? Everyone is trying to hire you right now?
How about I tell you what I'm going to tell you after you answer my
question? This is the first time, by the way, I have
let
ever
me tell
said
you
anything
what I'm
personal
going to
about
tell you.
You.
Let me tell you what I'm going to tell you. But tell me how old you are first.
I turned 34 on Tuesday.
Okay. So you're a relative child compared to me. I'm 54. When you're 54 and you have a family and things like that, you make what are called life decisions, right, with regard to jobs and employment and things like that. So I made one of those. It didn't work out, which is unfortunate. I wouldn't root for that for anybody, even people I don't like. So that's what happened to me. It's not like I'm on the corner, selling the local paper. I'm doing just fine. I've got a site that's excelling. I've got a nice hour gig a week here. Would I prefer to have been, made a different choice back at the time I made a choice? Yeah. But those are called life things that happen to people. They'll happen to you sometime when you're older, I suspect. Unless you live in this state of suspended, whatever you're in.
Well, that was fun until the end. Thank you, Jared. I appreciate your time, and we'll talk to you soon.
Take care, Stilly.
Always.
Take care.
Always fun with you two.
All right, when we come back, we'll react to that. I mean, we could react to a number of aspects of those segments. Coming up, Robbie and Rex are 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Hey folks, join Jared Stillman, Chris Sanders, and Derek Mason at Teddy's Tavern located across from the Bridgestone Arena Plaza this Sunday from 9:30 to 11:30. They will break down the Titans Week 4 matchup against the Bengals and give you the latest updates before the game. Our NFL pregame show is presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment and the Beast Unleashed. Take your tailgate to Twin Peaks for scenic views of all the hottest football, college football games across the country and home of the 29-degree beer. So there you go. Pregame show should be great this Sunday. And I guess this is the post-game show of Stilly and Paulie. Lots of reaction on the text line, including, I think I'm going to leave the personal stuff out of it, but I like Chad from Chattanooga. As Hall of Fame newscaster Ron Burgundy says, wow, that escalated quickly. I would say so, but I think everybody's good now and we can continue talking
about sports.
He'd
said something like that on the air previously, which...
Yeah, I think he has gone personal before.
I had contemplated bringing up, but I was going to let it sit. But he went again, so of course not going to let it sit.
So let's. I think beyond the reaction of you two, which people, I mean, there are a lot of people clamoring for more U2, I will say. Not U2, one of my favorite bands, but you and Stilly. The Vrabel discussion, I mean, first of all, that pisses me off too. That's an absolute joke that, like, on this show, we just sit here and scream excuses about Vrabel. But I do think the context of he is good, he has been good overall, I think very good. And the idea that he should be on the hot seat right now, to me, I think is laughable.
Agree. Here's another thing.
But it doesn't mean he's at all. He's absolved from criticism. He's taken plenty. And I think, you know, the personnel stuff is, we don't know. We know some, right? We know some of the, yeah, he was certainly out on this guy, that guy. Moving forward, if this team's bad, because this team, the roster is not, it's not up to par, okay? In certain spots, it's possibly bad. Moving forward, if that continues to be the case, more and more is on him. You agree?
More and more. But here's the thing. They are trying to not bottom out while getting themselves into the next phase, right? They've got their next quarterback in Levis. Apologies to Willis, but that's the fact of the matter. And things could change based on play or whatever. They've got their next running back in Spears. They've got an expensive quarterback and expensive running back who are on their way out. Certainly the quarterback is. And their contracts are up. So they're straddling these two eras, if you will. Byard could be on his way out based on the money, you know, based on the age. They're certainly going to want to get faster, all of these things. What they did is they tried to say, hey, in this division, with what we have and the patchwork roster we can put together with a lot of one-year deals at reasonable money because we're cap-strapped and the cap is actually a real accounting thing that does dictate some decisions. We're going to straddle this and be competitive this year and set ourselves up for next year. Now, a lot of people, and I listened to a Ringer podcast or an Athletic podcast, who said, like, what are they doing? Who are they? Why would you do this? You've got to bottom out. And they're saying, no, we don't. I think it's admirable that they're trying to do this. So far, it's not working. It may not work. But who says you have to do it the way everybody wants you to do it, where you need to bottom out? And what would bottoming out have entailed? Like, what should they have done? Moved on more quickly from Tannehill and gone straight to Levis this year?
That would be one way to try to do it.
Okay. But, I mean, Levis probably benefits from watching here for a half of a season if that's where they wind up.
Right.
Outside of that, move on from Henry before this year. I mean, that kills you with the fan base. That's not a huge consideration, but the face of your franchise treating him that way wouldn't have gone over.
But they made inquiries anyway. That's another thing about this. It could have gone a different way.
Could have. But they
were not completely.
I don't think it's unreasonable.
They weren't closed off to it going the other way.
They weren't.
No.
But ultimately, they decided to do it this way. And I don't think it's criminal to have tried doing it this way. And by the way, fans are ripping them for trying to do it this way. If they did it the other way, fans would have ripped them for trying to that. Oh, look, the division stinks. The Jags are 1-2. You could have been right there.
Yeah. I mean, this is where hockey and football to me are different, because we're kind of having similar discussions with the Titans and the Preds. And in hockey, in my opinion, it is worth, like, it's not good to be in the middle, and it's hard to get out of the middle, and you really need to be at the top of the draft.
Right.
You know, to a couple times, preferably, to get the difference makers. And I feel like in the NFL, look, obviously, especially if you're in the market for a quarterback, yes, that's where it's really valuable to be up there. And it's still valuable to be up there. But let's go back and look at these NFL drafts.
Well, go back and look at the Titans,
being
up there. Number two, Vince Young, great. Right. Number eight, Jake Locker, great. And if they don't get one or two,
bad choices don't dictate future choices,
right.
But
it shows you what could happen. And if they don't get one of the top two, are they going to go quarterback again after going quarterback 2 years in a row?
I mean, I'm talking to a couple people in the last few days about, like, well, you know, maybe they could get into the position for Caleb. I'm like, first of all, they're not going
to
be that bad.
They don't have much trade.
Can you imagine?
Right, they have no third. They have no fifth.
Well, no, but we're talking about, like, be that bad. Oh. And I'm like, can you imagine a team going third round, second round, first round at quarterback?
It's backwards what they did,
you
right
can't
tackle.
Do it. Yeah, exactly. I mean, they're not in the, like, Will Levis is going to get an opportunity to be the franchise quarterback. I have no idea what's going to happen there, right?
If you have the first or second pick, I don't know that you could pass on one of those guys. They have to have a sense of Levis. And if they're going that badly,
I suppose,
going to get a sense of Levis.
Yeah, I suppose if you happen to be at one, which this team won't be anywhere near one. No. But if you happen to be at one and you were like, not sure on Levis, okay. And you're looking at Caleb Williams like, well, he might actually be like a generational QB. Okay, fine. But that's not happening. I'm with you. I mean, look, I think what you want to do is not score 15 points a game, and you want to look like you're a team that could possibly, you know, win a playoff game at home. And, you know, right now they're 1-2. That's the thing. We're talking this week after an absolute just disaster of a performance against Cleveland.
Here's the other thing. Like, you can laugh at the idea that they're in it. Who knows what Mark wins the division? A home playoff game, is something, you know, the locker room and the coach certainly want. You take your chances from there. B, business-wise, a home playoff game is a big deal. A big deal. And don't think business-wise a team that is a couple years away from a new stadium doesn't, you know, welcome an influx of cash that comes with that.
I agree with you. But, see, that's where, like, if I'm a Titans fan, I don't want to hear that crap. What? And I want to hear pay more money for more good players.
Oh, sure.
Invest more in the offensive line, right? Like, so you're right. I mean, it's again, let's take it to hockey. I mean, it's a big deal for the Preds to get in and have a series and have at least two home playoff games, right? And it's a big deal. And that's a different business model than the NFL.
Absolutely.
So,
but at the same time,
as a Preds fan, if I'm a Preds fan, I'm like, yeah, okay, no. I want you to get to the point where you could compete for a championship.
Yeah.
That's what this is about.
Well, Titans fans, I think, are too much that way, like that you can't have a successful season without winning the Super Bowl. That's a ridiculous standard.
Well, yeah, for
this
for a franchise,
team can have
it's
a very successful season. This version of this team could have a very successful season without winning the Super Bowl.
So if this team,
how do you say Super Bowl or bust for the Titans?
So if this,
who do you think you are?
Well, sure. So let's say this team goes 9-8, and they host the Ravens. Let's just make it the Ravens again, and they lose 20-17 in the playoffs. What? How do you characterize that season?
Typical.
Okay, so you're not willing to say successful.
You know, it's about what you do. It's what they do.
Yeah, but I understand people not wanting to do that.
It'd be better if they lost and had the number 8 pick? I don't know.
Going through that, it sounds good now. That's the thing. People always talk about outcomes, but then it's like, okay, now go through week to week of that and tell me that you're enjoying that, right? That's another part of this. Like, yeah. Let's talk about the outcome. Okay, let's talk about the slog of actually watching that week to week.
I'd like for them to get to a point where it's a more attractive product for sure.
Yes.
But if they get the 9 wins, they get the 9 wins. Just one other quick thing about hockey and baseball. Everybody makes it like, well, just dump the guys. It's not like hockey and baseball where you dump guys for prospects, right? And they make it sound like you could just turn Tannehill or Henry at any time for something advantageous to you. Somebody has to want those guys.
Yes.
Everybody presumes the Jets want Tannehill. If Tannehill's playing like this, maybe they don't. Because you have to inherit a lot of cap dollars with that. Henry looks terrible right now. He's got a toe injury to some degree, and it's a lot of money, and to be good, he needs a lot of carries. Who wants that right now? Maybe there's somebody, but maybe there's nobody.
Adam in Portland, I apologize. If you want to stay on, we have a PK rant coming next. We could get to you, or you could try it later. That's my bad, buddy. I just got mesmerized by PK's analysis. And we come back, we've got a PK rant. Robbie Rexer, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
I wake up in the morning, I piss excellence.
I need to know from you why this is the case.
When I woke up this morning, I was feeling pretty dangerous.
WHMR.
In the morning.
The Homer.
Hey, that's quite a voice you've got there. You ever think about doing radio?
All right, it says the Rex Rant, but actually, I don't know, what do we call the PK Rant? What do we call the Kuransky? Kahar Rant? I don't know, but it's the PK. Paul Kaharsky is going to, he's got something to say.
You're going to force some name on it that it doesn't. It's the Rex Rant, Kuharsky version, let's say.
There you go.
I've told you I have a great new relationship with Zen Sports. You can go sign up there using TN Paul, and you'll have great relationships and get a free membership to paulkuharsky.com. I'm not as in favor of my relationship with Caesars Sportsbook, or maybe with any sports book. I sign up for most of these books at the beginning when they made you a nice offer. I got an email that was titled Notice of Account Dormancy. It says, "Dear Paul, your account has been inactive for 300 days. In 65 days, due to Tennessee regulations, we will close your account and remove any remaining funds. If you want your account to remain open, please log in." So, I don't know for a fact that these Tennessee regulations exist. If they do, that is malpractice by our government. Why shouldn't this account remain open in perpetuity with my funds in it? Closing it would then give my funds to Caesars. They're not Caesars' funds. They are my funds. Render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, but render unto me what is mine. If it's not, and I did try to do some research, I don't know for sure if this is the regulation. If it's not the regulation, and this is Caesars just trying to get me there to worry about the couple $100 I have in the account because I won a good bet on Georgetown in a tournament on the initial bet over Creighton a couple years ago, then it's a scare tactic to get me into the account. And obviously, when you log into the account, likelihood is you're going to make another bet and restart your 365-day clock. Either way, it is complete BS that there's any threat of if you're inactive on a betting app for 365 days, they're going to take your money. And this is Tennessee state regulation. It ranks up there to me with the federal government allowing banks to take $4 from you every time you access your money out of an ATM. It's complete crap.
I'd like to know the answer, because
if anybody out there knows it, please tell us.
Because I don't understand at all what the rationale would be for making that illegal. Why would that be? Why would your inactivity have anything? Why would there be any regulation on that? It makes no sense to me. And yes, if it is them BSing, they need to be called out hard for that. I mean, that's outrageous. That's outrageous. And it's, they're asking you to just log in, or log in and place a wager.
It just says log in. So you need to log in.
Just log in, say which hi, log back out.
I think that would have sufficed and gotten me another year.
I'd like.
And that's a 65-day warning. So I was in line for a lot of emails, I guess, if I didn't jump in there. I have a 4-game parlay that's going to crush it this weekend and make me $188.
Nice. Okay. Well, I'd like to know the answer to that. That's ridiculous. On either front, because, I mean, honestly, if Caesars is trying to invoke the law and it's not the law, how could you possibly
fraudulent?
Right. That's what that is.
But so it must be the law. And if that's the law,
please explain.
What are the lawmakers doing?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, we're shocked at bad lawmaking.
Yeah, I know.
Still.
Yeah. All right. Is Adam still there? Did Adam hang up?
Come on, Adam. Hang with us.
I'm sorry, Adam. I'm sorry. Well, hopefully, if you want to call back, what are we looking at? We've got TD. We've got TD next. We got picks in picking, but we've got some openings at 8:15 and 8:45. If you'd like to call back, to continue PK the Titans discussion as we pick it back up, a lot of hand wringing this week over the offense bad, but the defense
bad.
The defense bad too. How about Jeff Simmons? Let's get into Jeff Simmons. Because, I mean, we've had a day of personal issues. So Jeff Simmons tweeted at you. Your tweet. Okay, let's go back. Post game, there were some people asking about pass interference stuff, right? Which is fine. Byard, Vrabel. Jeff Simmons introduced pass interference as a big part of this, or some of the calls as a part of this game, which to me, I was like, yeah, it's not. I didn't have a problem with the calls. Regardless of what you thought of the calls, to me, like, the defense wasn't good against the Browns. They weren't back there all day. They weren't.
Yeah, he rattled that off. We were back there all day. We just weren't getting them. You know, the calls weren't good. They weren't going up and down the field on us. And, you know, our goal was to stop the run, and look at how many rushing yards they had. That didn't compute to me. It didn't sound like Jeff Simmons, really. Now, maybe I shouldn't have said he made a list of excuses.
So you tweeted, you quote tweeted like a video and said, yeah, whatever. You said
bad
like,
vibe I did, yeah, to bad me vibe from Simmons. And I did say he made excuses. I probably shouldn't have phrased it that way. All right. So I'll take the blame on that.
Look at you apologizing, basically.
He came back at me really hard. Shut up.
With a tweet.
Hard. A tweet that magically disappears. So look,
but it never
I'll
does.
I'll say what I do though. If I tweet that, it's out there, and I stand behind it, whether you know I phrased something poorly or whatever. When a guy comes back at you, and then his PR team gets to him, the Titans get to him, whoever gets to him, and he takes it down, you know, and he's telling me I'm a man, you know, and I'm not saying he's not a man. Jeff Simmons is a man, believe me. Mm-hmm. But I mean. Who's standing up there for what he said? I'm just being rhetorical and leaving it out there. My tweet exists still. Screenshots of his tweet exist still. He remains upset with me. I tried to talk it out with him a little bit on Wednesday. It didn't go.
Well, give me a synopsis of that. I wasn't in there. So basically just the same stuff. Like, don't say I'm making excuses.
Yeah. You know, usually or historically, in such a situation, a guy has calmed down some by Wednesday. You can, you know, apologize to the degree necessary, explain yourself, be in front of a guy like Stillman generally isn't. I am, right? And okay. I want to hash that out. I have a professional relationship with a guy.
He's been in the locker room this year.
And so, once in a while. Also, nobody, you know, he says nobody's reading me. Nobody knows who he is. There's a big difference there. So, you know, I was in the locker room, and we talked and argued a little bit, and it was loud enough to draw some attention. That's unfortunate, and, you know, now I'll just wait things out, and they'll calm down over time.
Maybe he's using you as a little extra juice this week.
Huh? I don't know. I don't think that he needs that or finds it necessary. But the one thing he said that I will stay with, he said, we set out to stop the run, and we stopped the run. When did they stop saying things like that? Who cares that they held the Browns to 78 yards? How do you chalk that up as some sort of victory?
Well, right.
It's meaningless.
It's a priority for them, and it is an important part overall of what they do. It's good to not be run on in this league, right? But I agree, after that game, who cares? Right. So it's,
you don't get a gold star.
It's important to them, right? But, yes, after a game like that, it's basically just, yeah. I mean, look, the first.
I think they're so programmed to think that. I mean, they may be over-programmed to think, like, stopping the run is a winning formula for us. Because it's not.
Yeah, I mean, it has been part of winning, running and stopping the run. But, yeah, in some games it doesn't end up mattering. I will say the first thing Jeff said after the game in Cleveland, he said we got our ass kicked. And that was important to note. But then, yes. A little bit too much worrying about the refs to me. So we'll see if you and Jeff are okay.
By the way,
hold on. Go ahead.
Well, he was.
I just said, hold on. Go ahead.
I said, look, the worst call in the game was against them. Cooper didn't stand out of bounds. And he was like, do you even know football? Because it wasn't a penalty. You know, so he was getting into semantics. Yeah, I know it wasn't a flag. It was a bad missed call.
Right. By the way, though, Jeff Simmons has blocked Jared Stillman on Twitter. So somebody knows who he is. Maybe you're underestimating the power of Jared.
Yeah, he was annoyed by a tweet one time. That's what that means.
All right.
I got blocked by Jonnu Smith and later talked to him about being blocked by Jonnu Smith, and he was like, I have no idea what that was about.
Interesting. We all got blocked by Deion Lewis. Everyone in the world has been blocked by Deion Lewis. And when we come back, someone who has not blocked us, Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation, on Robbie and Rex at 102.5, 106.3 The Game.